This episode was originally recorded in early 2020.
We're going to go after a hyper-specific part of the market.
You can't have this generalized value proposition.
People want bespoke suits. Take the time to research.
Welcome to the Brighthouse Financial Insights Panel Podcast. In these monthly conversations, leading experts share actionable tips and strategies to help financial professionals like you build strong businesses and lasting relationships with clients.
Hello, I'm your host, Stephen Boswell, president of the Oxley Institute, a provider of marketing solutions for financial professionals.
Today, we'll tackle the latest topic in our Next Level Prospecting series, connecting with niche client groups. Focusing your practice on a specialized group, people connected by occupation, demographics, or life stage can set your business apart from the pack.
As you learn more about your group's specific needs and goals, you're building deep expertise and a robust network that can help you service these groups at the highest levels.
The Insights Panel Roundtable will explain how to identify which specialty groups may be best for you and suggest strategies for connecting with those groups quickly. Joining me today is behavioral finance expert Preet Banerjee, consultant to the wealth management industry, and prospecting expert Mary Beth Kuzmeski, the founder of Red Zone Marketing.
Preet, in terms of becoming a niche expert, we can't just claim to be an expert, right? I mean, I could claim to be an expert on practice management for physicians, but it would take a physician about a minute to realize I don't really know what I'm talking about.
Right.
So what's the best way to become an actual expert in a given market?
When it comes to becoming an expert in general, it requires a lot of research. Now, luckily, there are a lot of avenues for gathering information today. So I'll give you an example from my own experiences. So part of what I do is I speak at conferences all the time, and about 60% of my keynotes are to audiences that are financial professionals, but sometimes it strays out of that. So recently, I was speaking to a group that was a little bit different than my niche. What I did to learn about this group is I spent time on their industry websites and forums, their subreddits, to get into the minds of what it is that they're talking about, what it is that they're struggling with. And it's very easy to find the polarizing topics that people have questions about and they need answers to. So you can bring your expertise, in this case for a financial professional, the financial analysis of these different issues that are very specific to a target market and craft content around that. It takes time, but I think the return on investment is huge.
It seems to me that most financial professionals don't find their niche market from scratch. It's not as if they dream it up one day that I'm going to be the go-to financial professional for athletes if they don't have some connection to that field. So more often than not, it's a connection through an existing client, through a family member, or someone who knows that space pretty well.
I'm curious, for example, Mary Beth, you've worked with so many financial professionals who have targeted niche markets. How do they go about finding the right one?
We have a financial professional that focuses on certified registered nurse anesthetists. His wife is a certified registered nurse anesthetist. And so he goes to the conferences when she goes to those conferences, and he started to get to know a lot of these CRNAs. And he's like, I could probably help them. So he wrote a book on how to retire if you're a CRNA. He promotes it on LinkedIn. He speaks now at the CRNA conferences, and he's taken what is a really a tight niche, and he's really, truly made it his own. I've seen financial professionals target niches that they actually like. So, for instance, if they are a biker and they are, you know, they like to ride long distance and they've got a whole group of people that also like to do that, the affinity of liking biking is actually a decent niche, because a niche really is about understanding the people in that group, but it's also about getting the referrals in that group.
And I think it's really important to point out that when it comes to affinity marketing, that you should actually have your own affinity for that activity. It can't be disingenuous. You can't say, oh, you know what, I'm going to join the yacht club, and you don't know anything about sailing, you have zero passion for it, or you're afraid of the water.
I may have seen a few episodes of Gilligan's Island back in the day. Well, you know, one of the big concerns that arises is if I target one niche, am I alienating others? How would you combat that, Mary Beth?
What we have seen, actually, is that if a financial professional, for instance, works with a lot of physicians, the physician is going to refer that financial professional to someone else. And it doesn't matter if they're a physician or not, they're still going to contact them. And so we've seen, even though you might be focused and your messaging is focused all around one particular niche, you're still getting referrals from that niche to people outside of the niche. So that's one thing. But I think the other thing is that a lot of financial professionals we work with have more than one niche. Three is typically the number. So they work with a lot of business owners. They work with a lot of physicians. So it's not like they just have one niche. And the key for that is to have the right messaging so that people can find their place when they get to the website or when they're talking to you. You can't have this generalized value proposition. We work with individuals and families and businesses. It's got to be something that is pointed to the person you're talking with.
That's the beauty of digital marketing nowadays. You could go and say, I'm going to run a Facebook marketing campaign towards dentists, and I'm going to build out a landing page on my website that reflects dentist. So it's much more possible now to have your cake and eat it too. You can be a real specialist and seen as a specialist here without alienating everybody.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of overlap between different target markets. So let's use the example of physicians, and maybe a sector of physicians would be, say, ophthalmologists. And these are physicians that have very capital-intensive businesses. And so they have to spend a lot of money on the equipment in their offices compared to, say, a psychiatrist who doesn't have to spend a lot of money on equipment. But let's take a look at dentists. Dentists also run capital-intensive businesses. And so the overlap is healthcare practitioners who have capital-intensive businesses. And that applies to a number of different target markets as well.
Mary Beth, when you think about how to get the messaging out, if I want to be seen as the player for business owners in the community, how do I get the word out that I am a specialist in that area?
What you need to be able to do is speak directly to the market you're talking to. Now, that sounds obvious that, of course, if I'm talking to a business owner, I'm going to speak to the business owner. But it just doesn't seem like there's a formula that a lot of financial professionals use for this. And so we suggest using a simple, repeatable statement of value. We have one financial professional. He's got multiple niches and groups that he works with. But when he's at a business function talking to a business owner, he doesn't say, we work with individuals and families and businesses. He says, I'm a financial professional, and actually we work with a lot of business owners. In fact, to date, we've helped about 60 business owners sell their businesses and move on to the next stage of their career. You can prove it by your messaging and by your words, and it's a lot more powerful than saying, you know, we do investments.
I could see that in a social venue like what you're describing in terms of telling people that's your space and our statement of value. And I could also see spaced repetition with existing clients being really important, that over time I reestablish with you, Mr. Business Owner, that we specialize, we enjoy, we like working with you and your friends, by the way. Preet, when you're thinking about getting the message out, what kind of content would you recommend for a financial professional who wants to be seen as a niche player?
It has to be relevant to your target market. People want bespoke suits. They don't want off the rack. So if you take the time to research what is important to this target market and create content, and this could be something like an ebook, it could be an infographic, it could be a checklist, that becomes a go-to reference source for people in that target market, you're going to build up that credibility and you're going to show your relevance. You need to give them a reason to say, here's why you should pay attention to me versus everyone else out there.
When you look at the trends in digital marketing, it is exactly what you described there, that we're going to go after a hyper-specific part of the market, not just dentists, but dentists in a certain zip code and with a certain life stage, with a certain family situation, and we're going to target them with advertising that speaks to that person and drive them back to content that really speaks to them.
There is a battle for people's attention, and a colleague of mine, his name is David Meerman Scott. He was the guy who coined the phrase newsjacking. And so for those of you who don't know what newsjacking is, that is taking advantage of the topical news of the day to amplify your brand or message. And so what you would do is you'd see what's happened this morning that everyone's talking about, and then think about how you can add your own 2 cents into that news. And what'll happen is there's kind of this arc of how this story lives in the media. There's the media cycle. And so as people are gathering information, the sooner you can get information out that's good, that can be used by journalists or reporters, the more likely it is they're going to turn to you to add further comment because they want to provide multiple sides to a story. You can do this with the target market as well, again, by looking at the industry forums to see what's topical, and you can, quote unquote, newsjack the information and topics that people are talking about, create content, pitch it to the industry websites and magazines and say, hey, let me write the column as the expert financial professional as to what this means for you from a financial context. It's a great way to show the relevance and why you are different than everyone else who's also going after that target market.
Yeah, it really all comes back to defining the target market that you want to go after and going in really in a big way. And when you think about how you go to market in this coming year, if I want to grow my business, but specifically through business owners, I need to be thinking about business owners as it relates to every bit of marketing strategy that I have, whether it is where I network, the professionals with which I try to partner, the social media campaigns that I run. Every bit of this has to be built around targeting business owners if I'm going to make a go of it. That's all the time we have, everybody. Thanks so much again to Preet and Mary Beth for their insights. And make sure to join us for the next episode where we explore cutting-edge outreach tactics. Stay ahead of the curve with the Insights panel from Brighthouse Financial. This information is brought to you courtesy of Brighthouse Financial Incorporated, which provides, through its affiliates, annuities and life insurance products issued by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277, and in New York only by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, 10017. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers, and the information presented is for educational purposes only. Speakers were compensated for their participation as subject matter experts, for professional use only, not for public distribution. In these podcasts, the terms advisor and financial advisor are used as general references to licensed insurance professionals and are not intended to indicate whether the licensed insurance professional is a registered investment advisor or is otherwise authorized under the law to provide financial advice. Brighthouse Financial Incorporated is not affiliated with nor endorses any businesses or organizations that appear in this material.